From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he continues a message entitled The Longest Day. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, He Will Return. The text is John chapter 14, verse 18, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He left us, and yet we are not left orphans. He is our comfort, and He is gone. But we are not comfortless. Our comfort is that He will come to us. And this is consolation enough to sustain us through His prolonged absence. Jesus is already on His way. He says, I come quickly. He rides post-haste toward us. He says, I will come, and none can prevent His coming, or put it back for a quarter of an hour. He specially says, I will come to you. And so He will. His coming is specially to and for His own people. This is meant to be their present comfort, while they mourn that the bridegroom doth not yet appear. When we lose the joyful sense of His presence, we mourn. But we may not sorrow as if there were no hope. Our Lord, in a little wrath, has hid Himself from us for a moment. But He will return in full favor. He leaves us in a sense, but only in a sense. When He withdraws, He leaves a pledge behind that He will return. O Lord, come quickly. There is no life in this earthly existence if Thou be gone. We sigh for the return of Thy sweet smile. When wilt Thou come unto us? We are sure that Thou wilt appear. But be Thou like a roe or a young hart. Make no tarrying, O our God.
I know my God. presence, Lord, when I feel so alone. You know each trial and testing pain, the hurt that is unknown. Oh, why can I not see thy hand so firmly guiding me? Oh, how can I untrusting be when you are very near to me? When God is near, all the world seems far away. When God is near,
if anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Thank you. Joshua chapter 10, verses 10 through 20, records one of the greatest miracles to be found in all the Word of God. Locked in battle with the heathen Amorites, Joshua called upon God to suspend the going down of the sun so that Israel might win a complete victory over the enemy. As Dr. Cairns will point out, that this portion of Scripture has engendered much controversy through the centuries. Liberal theologians and commentators have tried their best to explain it away. Yet the event is a fact of history, and no amount of rhetoric can dismiss it. The God who created this universe can set aside its laws when it suits his purpose. This was not some fortuitous display of raw power. The miracle had a definite purpose, to exalt Joshua before the people. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, but he could not bring them into the promised land. It fell to Joshua to do that. Likewise, Moses and the law cannot bring a soul to salvation. Our greater than Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only one who can do that. Now to continue this message, The Longest Day, here is Dr. Cairns.
I want you to understand that this miracle, so easily read, is one of the... let me just back off that. It is the most stupendous miracle in all the Bible in the physical realm. We know that the sun does not go around the earth, that it's the other way around. The earth goes around the sun. Our day and our night depend upon the earth spinning on its axis as it revolves around the sun. Actually, I think we're beginning to find that not only are we in motion, but every other heavenly body is in motion as well. So the sun did stand still. All those smart aleck scientists who say, oh, of course the sun didn't stand still, it was the earth that stood still. They have now got to, we used to have a saying back in Northern Ireland, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Well, they would have to put that in their pipe and smoke it because the sun did stand still, and the earth. But what a miracle. What a miracle. That required the temporary suspension of the normal laws by which God governs the entire solar system and possibly the entire universe. It required also the temporary institution of an entirely different set of physical laws throughout the system. Let me give you a crude example of what it would mean if God hadn't done that. Say you're in a Boeing 747 that's going at 550 miles an hour, right? And it suddenly runs into some blockage up there and stops like that. What's going to happen to you? You're going to break your neck against whatever happens to be stopping your forward momentum. Because as soon as that great speed comes to an immediate halt, all bodies that are in it will be flung at furious rate. And that is nothing in comparison to what would happen to us all if our earth were to stop spinning on its axis just like that. So God not only stopped the laws by which he normally operated, but temporarily instituted something else. Not only so, but while Israel had a double day, did you ever think that many other people had a double night when the Lord prolonged that day? And the Lord did all this to give Joshua the complete victory, to give him time to finish the work in the Battle of Beth Horon. Some people object, you know, that doesn't make sense because Beth Horon, we have heard of some great battles, even from ancient times. We read in history of the Battle of Marathon, but who has ever heard of the Battle of Beth Horon? Why would God suspend the laws of the universe for this little squabble in Beth Horon. They entirely missed the point. This was no little squabble. In fact, I would say a much more important battle than Marathon or 100 marathons. This was a battle by which God defeated very speedily the Southern Confederacy against Israel. That meant that within a day, there were only little pockets of resistance remaining in the entire southern part of the nation of Israel. That left Joshua free very quickly to turn his attention to the northern kings who were already coming together in another confederacy. And it meant a great military and tactical victory for him, because he didn't have to fight two great confederacies at the same time. Read anything of military history. No military commander wants to have a mighty force on one side and another on the other side and have to divide his limited forces between them. And the Lord certainly obviated that. Beth Horon was a very important victory. Not only for that reason, but because it must have alarmed the rest of the Amorites and the Canaanites and all the other enemies of Israel. It must have put tremendous fear, just as what happened to Jericho and Ai put the fear in the king of Jerusalem. So what happened to Jerusalem, its king, and all these others put fear in the enemies of God throughout the rest of the nation. And not only did it do that, but in so doing, remember, it brought about a great saving in the lives of the people of God. Battles, you can read about battles and wars, and sometimes, according to what your sympathies are, you can glorify them and say, my, that was a great battle. But war is the nearest representation that people have on earth to the torments of hell. There's nothing glorious about it in itself. And Israelites got killed in battle. And others got wounded in battle. Little children bade farewell to their fathers, never to see them again. And so anything that would lessen any casualties for Israel was certainly to be welcomed. God did that at Beth Horon. And of abiding moral value, he showed the extent of his judgment against the wicked, vicious heathenism of the Amorites. When you read what goes on in the book of Joshua, if you read it only on a human level, it would sicken you. When you read of the bloodshed, the cities reduced to ashes, men, women, and children put to the sword, that's not a pretty sight. Just because you're only reading it and you're not actually watching it in reality, don't be blinded to the fact this was a period of history in the land of Canaan of violent bloodshed. If you only look at that on the earthly level, you would have to say Joshua was a monster. He was a bloodthirsty monster. But he wasn't. This was not Joshua's battle. This was the Lord's battle. Nobody else can claim Joshua as their license to go and make war. Not Britain, not America, not anything. If you have a license to make war, it will have to come from something else than the example of Joshua. Joshua was sent specifically as the Lord's man leading the Lord's people into the land that the Lord had for 400 years been promising to them and preparing for them. And he was leading them in as his sword of judgment against a people who for over four centuries had been given opportunity to repent and had gone into deeper and deeper wickedness. When you read the Lord's catalogue of the sins of the Amorites, the kinds of wickedness. They make San Francisco seem like a Sunday school picnic. This was a vile people with vile practices, and it was sin against light. And God said, thus far and no further. So Joshua was going in to fight the battles of the Lord. And when he went in and God prolonged the day in order that he would execute judgment on these people, the Lord was sending a message to the world in every age, in every place. And I will bring every work into judgment. That there is no force, either natural or supernatural, that will ever save the impenitent ungodly from the sword of the wrath of God. The extent of God's judgment is clearly demonstrated in this terrible slaughter on the earth's longest day. He also showed his commitment to his people. How far will God go to support his people? How far will God go to accomplish his own purpose? What will the Lord not do in order to see through the great program that he has instituted in and through his own people? And the answer of that longest day is, all power is God's. He's on the throne. The sun and the moon are his mere servants. He is not subject to the laws of the universe and all these little pipsqueak intellects that come to the Word of God and they say this is impossible. It flies in the face of the laws of science. So what? Who created those laws? Those laws are nothing but God's usual way of doing business. And I have no doubt he could do the same business a million other ways if he so desired. Our God is not subject to laws. He is the law. He's the King. And he can do what he wills, and what he wills is always right. And he will do great things to make his people conquer in his will. There's one beautiful thing also here. Why would God do such a miracle? Because he was highlighting the position and the exaltation of Joshua. Some Jewish commentators denied there was any miracle like this that ever happened. They explained it away. The great Jewish writer Maimonides was one of them. Why did they explain it away? Well, they said, it's impossible that God would do such a miracle through Joshua when he didn't do anything remotely like that through Moses. And so, guarding the glory of Moses, they put down Joshua. But that's the whole point. Moses could not lead the people into Canaan. Only Joshua could do that. Paul expounded that as typical of our greater Joshua. Moses, the law, can never lead you into salvation. People who try to get into heaven by the law are fools. They can't get in. But our greater Joshua, remember what I've kept repeating through these studies in Joshua, the word Jesus is simply the Greek form of the word Joshua. Our greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus, he is the one who leads us in. When I was thinking of that, I thought it was very interesting that Joshua experienced light instead of night in order to give the people their inheritance in Canaan. By contrast, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross experienced night instead of light. When he came to die, the sun was blotted out. But what a different story when he comes the second time. Because then, according to Isaiah 30, verse 26, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. So Joshua's miracle did take place, highlighting the position that God had given to him.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.